Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the OrthoFit podcast. Whether you're a seasoned athlete or just getting started on your health and fitness journey, I'm honored to have you join us today. Prepare yourself for an enlightening discussion with Dr. Sev Bastian, an orthopedic surgeon, editor of the Journal of Shoulder and Elbow Surgery, and an expert on all things related to injury management. This is our first episode, and while the audio quality may not be the best, the quality of the conversation is still high. With that said, let's jump in and learn about how stretching, body mechanics, and exercise relate to injury prevention.
Hello and welcome, everyone. I'm Dr. Bastian. I'm an orthopedic surgeon.
And my name is AJ Kessler. I'm a physical therapist. We're both out of Los Angeles.
And we're here to talk to you guys about preventative medicine in musculoskeletal issues.
Before we get started, Seb, you want to tell the listeners a little bit about your areas of expertise and what you do for people?
Sure, yeah. So I'm a board-certified, fellowship-trained orthopedic surgeon, did 5 years training, and then did a year of fellowship in the shoulder and elbow region of the body. And so I specialize in sports, reconstruction, joint replacement, and complex trauma of that area, but I do a little bit of everything. Trained at the prestigious Curl and Job, I guess, where we treat a lot of pro athletes and got a lot of good firsthand experience on how to help high-end and high-impact kind of athletes with orthopedic injuries. And now I'm in the Los Angeles area in practice and taking care of anything that comes my way, essentially, young and old, athletes, non-athletes, weekend warrior types, and things like that.
And I am a doctor of physical therapy. My primary area of practice is in orthopedics. I work with an outpatient orthopedics, which is general population. So for those of you who don't know orthopedics, that's pretty much most connective tissue problems that could be bones, muscles, tendons, ligaments, cartilage, and things like that. So I would say my area of expertise, orthopedic pain and injuries, chronic musculoskeletal pain syndromes, as well as strength and conditioning and health promotion. So in this podcast, we're going to be talking to you guys about best ways to prevent musculoskeletal pain and problems. Seb, what do you say are the most common joints where people have pain? What do you always hear people complaining of?
So one of the most common reasons why anybody sees a healthcare provider of any type really is pain. And so we see a lot of people in pain every day, basically, and that's why they're coming and seeing a specialist of the body and then wondering why they're in pain, what it is that's causing the pain, and how to make it better and how to prevent it. We're big fans of preventative medicine and teaching patients and teaching people what their issue is and how to help make it better, and also, of course, how to prevent it from getting worse and prevent it moving forward. So that's what we're all about. And the most common areas that we see pain is always the back and the neck. And I'm not a spine surgeon. I want to make sure that that's known, but I see a lot of patients with back pain and neck pain, and I'm very happy to kind of teach them about what's going on and get them to the right step, which is going to be, of course, physical therapy, kind of tuning up the body, or rehab, or some people will say prehab even. Other areas that I see a lot of pain in are shoulders, knees, hands and wrists, fingers, obviously from overuse with keyboard usage, cell phone usage, office-based type of jobs, and of course any freak accidents or injuries in athletes who love to work out and love to go out and, you know, snowboard in the winter or play sports in the summertime or whatnot. So really all types, but the most common ones are the neck and the back, and that kind of affects the upper back shoulder area a lot of times, and also kind of the legs, mostly about the knees and maybe in the thigh a little bit. So what about you? What's the most common pain areas that you see?
I think low back is the most common. It seems like everybody has low back pain. I heard 80% of people will have an episode of low back pain during their lifetime.
Well,
so
depends
that's
on
almost everybody.
What study you read? So some studies will tell you up to 100% of patients will have an episode of back pain. I think there was one study out in Sweden or Finland, one of the Scandinavian countries, where they surveyed thousands and thousands of people, and every single person said at one point they had back pain. So it's kind of one of those things that it seems to be inevitable, and I see different people at different stages of their aging, is what I call it, anywhere between teenage and 20s to elderly, 80s, 90s, even older sometimes. And everybody, it seems, will go through something like this. Doesn't seem like it's an age thing, man.
So if anyone's out here listening and you have some back pain, that's good news. You're probably just a human being. Now, would you say that there's a lot of specific things that people need to do to prevent pain at each one of these joints, or are there things that people can do sort of generally, maybe once you see people in the office, they've already been having pain for some time and they're scared about it and they go see you, or that's really bothering them and it's limiting them and they go to see you. But what can we do to prevent that from happening? How can we eliminate the need for all these doctor visits? How can we, you know, how can our lifestyles and our activities and our movements help us to have the best chance at minimizing if we do have an episode of low back, we'll say low back pain, but it really could be anything.
Yeah, I mean, so a lot of these conditions, issues, pain episodes will resolve over time depending on how you try to better yourself or what you take or what you do. And so a lot of times patients will have pain for quite some time before they come see a doctor, but sometimes they come right away. And I get it. People want to know if there's anything dangerous or serious. And the goal of today and other kind of future podcasts will be to kind of teach people what's serious and what's workable, what's rehabable. And a lot of things in our body are rehabable. Our body's like a car. A car can be driven forever if you get it regularly serviced and take care of it well. Otherwise, things start lighting up in your car, your engine light goes off, your transmission light goes off, your tire's kind of flat, and you haven't changed your oil in a while, and it starts puttering around and making noises. But if you take care of your body right, yeah, you'll be able to kind of just get through a lot of stuff, because a lot of us go through episodes of soreness, pain, and it's important to distinguish between what's normal and what's not. And a lot of that is going to be based on the symptoms that you're describing, and how long you've had the pain, and if it's getting worse and things like that. And we'll talk about that. But from my perspective, my big thing is to teach people the good biomechanics of how to use their body. And that's where I do surgery. I take call. I deal with patients all day. And I don't have time to work out with the patients as well and teach them how to do that. And that's where the physical therapy comes in, which is key. And they get to spend time with the patients, 30 minutes, 1 hour, kind of show them how to make their weak points better, how to improve things like their posture, the way that they use their body, the way they lift with their body, with their legs, with their back, the way they use their hand, shoulder, upper body area when they're on the keyboard for a long time, or kind of on the computer, I guess. But, you know, and that's when I send them to therapy, and therapy kind of makes me look like a god sometimes. So I appreciate good physical therapy anytime I can get that. And that's where AJ comes in.
Absolutely. And I think we can have a whole nother topic on how do you know if you need to see a doctor for a pain that you have or not? How do you know if you should be worried? And what do you do in physical therapy to address that issue? One thing I think we can touch on a little bit here is there a right way to use their body? Is there something that we need to teach people where, you know, we have to tell them, put your shoulders in this position, or put your spine in this position, or your knee in this position? Is that something that is going to prevent people from experiencing future pain if we can kind of tell them to use their body a certain way? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think definitely there are better ways of doing certain lifts, better ways of holding your body and posture to prevent overstress or overstraining of another area. A lot of times we see a lot of people in the office-based job, and what happens is they kind of have that poor posture that leads to recurrent pain in that neck area, between the neck and shoulder area. And I see that daily, man. I see that daily. And so we can definitely show them how to position themselves, or how to, you know, take frequent breaks and stretch out or strengthen their weak points that are leading to this recurrent kind of position. You know, the human body wasn't meant to sit in a chair for 12 hours in front of a computer. Mm-hmm. And so we want to kind of educate patients more than anything about not just what they have, but how to work on these things to help prevent these situations becoming an issue.
Absolutely. And that leads me to what I would say is like the number one thing that I say in my personal practice is that people don't move enough. I don't think people should be as worried about if they have to learn how to have perfect posture before they move. The human body is meant to move. And the nice thing about the human body that's different from like a car is that it's adaptable.
Yeah.
The human body will heal itself and will find ways to get through it.
Yeah.
So the human body, however, it tends to work properly when you're doing certain things. And one of those things is to move on a regular basis. So maybe one thing, if you have a certain posture when you're sitting at your desk, and you might have pain associated with that posture, but the best thing you can do is, sure, you can adjust your posture, but you can also get up and move more. a lot of my patients are just not exercising and they work a sedentary job, live a sedentary lifestyle. Maybe exercise doesn't feel good for them and they haven't gotten to that point where they've been doing consistently long enough that they start to get the endorphins from the exercise. And evidence shows that people who have chronic pain, they get even less endorphins from exercise and they have to stick with the program even longer before they start to feel good from it.
So I see that all the time. I'm kind of laughing as you say that because people want instant results nowadays. And what you don't understand is that if you have pain in your body, that means it's already been months or years sometimes of misuse or disuse. And it takes many weeks or months of training therapy to see results. And if people go to therapy a couple times and they feel like they can do that stuff at home, but then they don't do it, or they feel like it wasn't for them, or they got a little sore, so they thought that they got worse, and then they stopped doing it, and then that's it. But I always give the example of Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, look at the guy. You think he looks like that from just going to the gym once? That takes dedication, discipline, a lot of repetition, and that's how you reprogram your body to becoming better. And so that's key, that people have to know that they need to be patient, they need to be disciplined. We all need to work out more and stay active. Doing your house chores and working is not a form of exercise. You want those things to be the easy things. Yeah. And you want to train yourself in a way that you have put your body through other stuff where sitting down or doing stuff around the house like cleaning, cooking, or moving around and moving furniture and things like that are easy.
Exactly. If you're having pain getting up from a chair, then the amount of stress on your tissues from getting up from a chair, that's more than what your body feels safe that it can comfortable with. And it's giving you that pain because it says, whoa, I'm not used to the stress. And if you just do this more, there's a chance you could hurt something.
Yeah.
And think about that. Your body is sending you alarm signals, threatening signals from getting up out of a chair. If you do exercise and you do more movement, you're getting your tissues used to more movement and stress. I tell my patients, our goal is we're going to get your body used to a lot more stress so that the stress of your normal activities is not perceived as threatening because your body is used to more and it knows that it's not going to get damaged if you load it. But if you never load your body and you never do anything above just getting around every day, your body isn't used to more. And then one day you overdo it a little bit, you're not prepared for it, and you're going to have some pain because you're loading your tissues and your body doesn't feel prepared for it. How can you get your body prepared for it? You can move it more. You can strengthen it in that position or generally get some more movement. And our tissues adapt. Like I said, we're not cars. We're humans. We're living. Our tissues are living and adapting. And if you show your body, I want to get better at this activity, you just kind of start doing that activity more and more, and your body will adapt.
So repetition. You got to get used to it.
Yeah, and it takes a certain amount of consistency before you do it one time, your body is just going to barely recover. But you start sending that same signal multiple times, then your body's like, okay, we're going to have to make some changes because this is going to keep coming.
A lot of times we work with patients who don't work out regularly or never have. Older patients, grandmas, moms, people who are culturally, especially in LA where we have almost every single culture of the world here, and culturally sometimes patients over 50 or from another country, they don't work out a lot, you know, they just don't. I know my people don't. I'm of Middle Eastern descent and I'm Armenian, and they just don't. And trying to teach somebody who's never worked out for 50 years to work out is very difficult, but you got to kind of motivate them and encourage them. And once they see the results, they become fans. But just that initial 2-3 months of getting them into the routine is what we try to encourage. But that's up to the patient. And unfortunately, we can't go home with them every day and get them to do the stuff. So if you're listening out there, you know, the most important thing, the key thing is just like anything else you try to do, whether it's social or work related or sports related or music or training yourself in something, it's discipline and sticking to it, staying active. And over time, everybody gets results.
Right.
And that's what we try to encourage most in people.
At the end of the day, our bodies are meant to move. All of our tissues, our blood flow, even our brain is based on movement. And we need to move throughout the day. So if I could write the owner's manual for the human body and the troubleshooting section says, you're having pain, what's the first thing you should try? Well, first, are you sleeping? Are you moving? Maybe eating some vegetables, you know, those are just the things that your body is supposed to have on a regular basis just to keep it working properly. And if you're not getting any movement on a regular basis, that's the first thing. And I'll tell you, people come to therapy and they think that I'm going to pop something back into place for them, or that I'm going to find the one biomechanical flaw that explains why they're having so much pain. Most of general population, people always just feel better once they get moving for a few weeks. They're getting blood flow, they're decreasing inflammation. You're literally lubricating your joints and nourishing your joints when you get movement. And when you don't get movement, you're allowing inflammation and stiffness to accrue. So if someone comes and says, I'm living my life and now I'm having pain in this body part, well, the first thing I'm going to say is, do you get movement? And if not, I'm going to be getting them moving, and getting them moving is going to be much more valuable than any one corrective exercise or biomechanical tip or fixing their posture. Now, if somebody is already moving, I'm going to tell them to use your body in a variety of different ways so that you don't overload one type of activity and you get your body used to stresses in a lot of different directions. So I really am a big believer in being comprehensive. And it doesn't mean that people have to do all these things to get started. But I'll say first is just move any way you can. If you can take a break from your desk every hour, get up and walk around. If you can go on a walking program, if you have a hobby that's a little bit physical, go out and spend some time in nature, take a hike, ride a stationary bike, do whatever you want. And, you know, try to make it fun so that it's just a part of your lifestyle and it's not a chore.
It's no secret. It's no secret, right? The key is movement and activity. And it's funny, I see a lot of patients with arthritis, right? And which is pain and stiffness. And they say, oh, I'm really stiff in the mornings, because you don't move overnight, it gets stiff. Or they say, oh, if I do anything, it gets sore. Well, you know, the treatment for these conditions is movement, it's activity, it's physical therapy. And by strengthening the muscles around the joints, you offload the joints, you work on flexibility, and you work on movement. And so not too much, not too little, not too much where you're so sore for a few days that you're just discouraged and you never do it again, and not too little where it's not beneficial. So it's no secret, our body needs to stay active. And I challenge anybody out there to get a nice workout in for 30 minutes to an hour, especially in the morning when you wake up, and that's going to be all the coffee you need for the day. You get a good feeling, but teaching people that is the tough part. Everyone knows what to do. It's not a secret. You know, we're not telling you anything new here.
Right.
Live a good, healthy lifestyle, get some good sleep, of course, and stay active, right? Everybody needs to put in some time on their body, just like we do anything else. But over time, we all get lazy or complacent, or we're busy. Everybody's busy, right? Everybody's got excuses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that mentality needs to change. It's easier said than done, right? We're sitting here talking, you telling guys to do it, but the hardest part is just doing it. It's easy. We all know what to do. Just got to do it.
Yeah. Compliance is the science.
I know.
So if someone, say somebody, you're listening and you just one day you start experiencing some soreness in your lower back that you haven't had before, you want to do something to stop it from being something that bothers you on an ongoing basis. The first thing I'm going to tell you to do is get more movement throughout the day. Then I'm going to tell you to get some form of exercise. If you can get one form of exercise, the next challenge is do some kind of cardio and some kind of resistance training. And if you can do that, then get into multiple different forms of movement. And that's really the best thing. Doing a whole lot of one movement can be good, but we do see with like single sport athletes, we get a lot more overuse injuries because they're always putting their body in the same kind of stresses and never giving it a break. So getting some variety in your movement diet, we could say, I think that's one of the best ways that we can prevent things and just keep your body working, the way it's supposed to. And I think if anybody does that for a few weeks, they're going to feel a difference. So if you're not moving throughout the day, that is the first thing that you should try to do. Let's talk about some other things.
I kind of want to go work out now after this, man. You know,
yeah.
We're at the PT office here, so we got some gym equipment. Hopefully you guys got something near you too, but it's always nice to get it in a little bit when you can, you know?
Yeah, go take just a short walk after your meal, get some sunlight.
Yep.
So other than movement, what else can people do in order to prevent their likelihood of having musculoskeletal pain? I do think that there, and I know this is something that people have mixed feelings about, some patients don't want to talk about this, at least not at the beginning, there is a connection with body weight. And being obese does not mean that your pain is caused by the fat and that you can't get out of pain if you're not obese and it's your fault because you're obese and that's why you have pain. So some people get discouraged if they think their doctor doesn't listen to them and just sees them as a fat person. That's obviously wrong. People are complex and pain is complex and there's many factors involved. But let's look at all the different factors involved and find the ones we can optimize to help people. The weight doesn't cause pain directly, but what it does is it just puts more stress on your tissues all the time, so they're not getting a break from being heavily loaded. Not only that, but the more fat cells you have in your body, your fat releases more inflammation. If your inflammation levels are higher, that can lead to your nervous system being more sensitive and the health of your cartilage. Maybe you can comment more on inflammation.
Yeah, you know, body weight definitely increases the stress on the joints, specifically the lower extremity joints. You know, we have a lot of patients who are larger, and yes, it seems like that contributes to their pain and their lack of mobility, but it's more just a measure of how active they really are, right? So it's a correlation. I don't think it's because they're, you know, more obese or have a higher BMI that they have pain. It's because they've been inactive, their BMI gets higher, and that inactivity leads to these issues. And so it's hard to find the right pace of activity for somebody like that. So some people will get to a point where, okay, I'm at this point now, I weigh over 300 pounds, I want to start running and working out, I got to lose weight. Well, you're not ready for that yet, man. You got to kind of just go at your own pace. And it's okay to go slow and start slow. And we don't want you to be super sore or injure yourself. We want you to do just enough where you feel a little bit of that soreness, a little bit of that burn, and piggyback on that and build on that. It's the consistency that's the most important thing.
Yeah. So you have to make it a good experience for the patient. They need to find a way to have fun with it. And I know a lot of people, especially if you're not used to exercising, you probably hear me talking about having fun exercising and I sound annoying. It's like, who's this guy? Who's gym rat? But believe me that if you can push through the wall and do it consistently for a while, when you start to see your workouts getting easier, your strength or your cardio going up, and your body actually adapts to the workout, you are going to start feeling better because that's what you're designed to do. You just got to push through that wall until your body adapts. Right? Your body doesn't adapt to one workout, it just recovers. It adapts when you give it the same signal consistently. Or then it's your fault.
Yeah, it's nobody's fault. The thing that's easy is that you already know what to do. That's the easy part. Everybody knows it. It's not a secret. It's just a matter of doing it, which is the hard part. Yeah. It's like,
and it's okay to get outside help.
Yeah.
Whether it's from your therapist or a nutritionist, dietitian.
Yeah. Or there's a lot of good services now that, will provide you the meals that you need, specific calorie counts. And for those on the go or who don't have time or whatnot or have trouble kind of figuring it out on their own, there's a lot of these services, and maybe in the future, you know, we'll plug some of these services if we get the right kind of sponsorship.
Absolutely.
But we're not trying to pick one over the other. There are a lot of these things available.
Many ways to do it.
You just have to be motivated to kind of do the appropriate steps to get that done.
And we know that not everybody is dealt the same hand in life. Some people are going to have to work harder or suffer more in order to achieve their goals. But the good news for weight loss is that you don't have to look like a skinny person to get the benefits. A lot of our overweight patients, once they lose 5-10 pounds, their knee arthritis feels so much better. They have lower inflammation. And however much weight you have on your knee, well, when you move, because of physics, that impact magnifies the amount of load going through your knee compared to just standing still. Then you're on one leg and you're taking an impact. So if you lose 5 pounds, you might really be taking 20 pounds of impact off your knee. So you don't have to be skinny and you know, stereotypical looking like a model in order to get out of pain. You can just lose 5 or 10 pounds and maintain that for a little bit. That could be enough that you can start feeling a difference in your joint pain.
Yep. So 1 pound goes a long way. It's for example, in the thumb. Thumbs are what makes us different from all animals, chimps, monkeys, whatever. We have an opposable thumb, and we use the thumb all the time on our cell phones, on keypads or whatnot. And for every pound of force that you pinch with between your thumb and index finger, that's a multitude of 8 times more on that joint at the base of the thumb. And this is kind of harped to us consistently in orthopedics, and it's important to modify activities to offload that, and you can do that in your hip and your knee as well. But it's also important to know that because it's a big drastic difference of losing a pound and you lose about 6 times stress on the hip and knee. And so if you lose 20 pounds, I believe it's 6 times, and that's about 180, you know, pounds, or what is that, 6 times 20, 120, my bad. and that's about 120 pounds of force less on the joints. So these type of little small changes will make your reserves, make your joints last a little bit longer.
That's a good word for it, reserve. It's really like we want our systems, our bodies to have that capacity, that reserve, so that if you do run into something more stressful or you do have something that puts more stress or more wear on you, you're still not at the threshold that you're going to have pain because you're used to more. And especially as we age, having a reserve when we're younger, building up that strength, the bone density, the muscle performance, then when you get older, you do get a little bit weaker. Hopefully you'll still have enough to be very functional.
Get it in early. It becomes easier later.
Yeah.
We see people at all ages. Get it in early, guys. And it's never too late to start because you're always going to get older. You never get younger.
Let's get into a myth of injury prevention. So this is one that I hear a lot of times in my practice. Seb, do you ever have patients tell you, yeah, I know, I really need to stretch more. I know I have this back problem and I really just need to make time to do more stretches. I really like the stretches.
Yeah, I think it's like an old mentality, right? So stretching, I have been always taught as in my youth and stuff, and by older doctors, older people, you got to get stretch in early on. It'll increase your workload ability, your ability to put up a maximum, weight, or it'll prevent injuries, and get that stretching in for about 10, 15 minutes. But, I mean, for me personally, I think it makes me more tired and I can do less afterwards, but you can probably touch on that a lot better.
Yeah.
So what is the gold standard now about stretching?
So I do think stretching is relaxing, like you said, and the stretching has been known to have pain relieving properties as well, acutely. So after you stretch, you can have decreased sensations of pain. But this is something I hear a lot of time is people say, yeah, I know I'm having this back pain or whatever it is, and I really need to be better about my stretches. I need to stretch more. Somehow the old school mentality has gotten into people that they just need to limber up and that pain and problems are caused by a lack of stretching. I said that humans have to move in order for their bodies to work the way they're designed to. Stretching is not something that everybody ought to be doing preventatively so that they don't get injured. And especially if you're busy and new to exercise and you only have a certain amount of time to dedicate your exercise, I would never tell someone that you should do less strength training so you can stretch more. You should do less cardio so that you can stretch more. Stretching can be used if you have a really stiff, you get a lot of what's called a contracture where your joint no longer goes throughout its full range of motion, or you have a truly shortened muscle where no matter how hard you pull, that muscle physically cannot lengthen enough to do the motion needed for the task. You can do some stretching in order to improve that lengthening of the muscle. And that's something that a physical therapist could prescribe for you. But not every time that we have the feelings of my muscle feels tight, that doesn't mean that the muscle physically cannot lengthen.
That soreness is more, I think it's more of like a weakness or fatigue.
It is a weakness.
And you want to kind of strengthen it more than anything.
Exactly.
Right?
Tightness is like, it's not quite pain, but it's almost pain. It's an unpleasant perception. It's an unpleasant sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that you are loading that muscle near its capacity. So how do you improve that? You need to increase the capacity of the muscle by getting it used to more movement
exactly.
and stress over time,
mm-hmm.
letting it progress. So we always see like a classic example is a runner and they're like, I'm doing these calf stretches all day long and I foam roll it and I Theragun my calves and I stretch them. But no matter what, they're always feeling tight. And then I go and I check their muscle length in the clinic and it's like an Olympic lifter. It's like, I don't even know how their ankle can bend that much. So clearly it's not because it's not lengthening properly. That's probably more of a capacity issue. So remember that just because you have a tightness sensation in your muscle, it doesn't mean that the muscle physically cannot lengthen. It could be that it's weak and your body is holding it tighter trying to save energy because it doesn't have the capacity that you need. Now, stretching, I believe, is safe and it does feel good and it can be relaxing. So if you like stretching, I'm not going to tell you not to stretch. What I don't like is people who say, oh, I really ought to be stretching. And yeah, I didn't do my exercises, but I did a lot of those stretches that you showed me and I need to stretch more. And if you're taking your free time to do movement and you're stretching and you're not getting your whole body moving or getting stronger, then you're really not getting the most out of your time. People don't realize that The best way to improve your range of motion is to do it actively. And strength training is not just for strength. You improve a lot of different functions of your body, including your range of motion. Strength training improves your range of motion. So I would recommend that you just exercise across the full range of motion and control these end range positions actively. And then if you need to stretch, it's something that you could do targeted for a specific muscle, for a specific problem that you have. And if you are going to stretch, don't do it before you're strengthening. The stretch reflex is part of what gives you your muscles performance. And if you stretch right before you exercise, you actually kind of lose that power by deadening the stretch reflex.
You hear that, powerlifters? Don't get a stretch in before so you can hit that max, that PR that you're looking for. So, I mean, it sounds like basically stretching is good, it's fine, but it's more of a supplemental thing and not the
stretching. Stretching could be good if you don't have the range of motion needed for the movement you're going to do. Like, you physically cannot get your body into that position, then you could stretch it before so that you can get in to do the proper form. That's really the scenario to do stretching. It does not improve your recovery from workouts. It's not going to make your muscles get bigger if you stretch after. It's not going to stop you from getting tightness if you stretch after your workouts. And if your muscles are sore from the workout, it's because they're recovering from the workout. You don't need to stretch to make that go away. It's going to go away over time, whether you stretch or not, because your body heals itself, like we said.
Yeah, you should welcome that soreness. It's when it's gets to a certain level that it becomes something that you come see a doctor for or try to kind of understand, hey, is this too much? But in general, if you work out your body constantly destroys and rebuilds itself. We call this inflammation. And by just using your body throughout the day, you're going to get this inflammation, and then the body repairs itself, recovers overnight when you sleep, lower stress levels, good diet, all that stuff is obviously part of it as well. And you kind of reset the clock every day, right? So that soreness, it's expected, and it's a part of the recovery.
It's beneficial. It means that you stimulated that muscle to adapt.
Yeah.
And everything, I like the Goldilocks analogy for everything, right? You don't want to overdo it. You don't want to underdo it. You want to be just right. So.
And everybody's just right is a little different.
Yeah.
So some people are pro athletes who work out 2 hours a day and they're able to do that. Other people, you know, just need to stay active for 20 minutes and that's enough for them. And whatever is your get right, whatever is your Goldilocks level of just right, that's what should be your consistent.
Yeah. But people need to know that that is supposed to happen when you do a new exercise program and your body's not fully adapted to it yet. That soreness, that means that your muscles have been stimulated to adapt. And that soreness that you feel, there's nothing harmful from feeling the soreness. You don't need to medicate it away. In fact, if you take anti-inflammatories for workout soreness, it's actually going to blunt your adaptation to the workout and limit your recovery. So a lot of patients just think that it's something that's wrong because they're not used to exercise and they did an exercise and the next day their whole body is sore and achy and they're worried because normally pain means something is wrong. So if you are using your Advil in order to medicate your post-workout soreness, I would recommend that you don't do that unless it's a special occasion. You really need to function for something or like that.
Cool. Well, I think this is a lot of good info for everybody to take in. A lot of general info, nothing crazy specific here, but just we're trying to motivate people to stay active. We're trying to make sure that they understand their body, how the body works, and how to teach good habits moving forward. And that discipline is key. Staying active daily is key. And understanding that movement is the answer and not necessarily that something is wrong if you're sore, but kind of working through some of that and making sure that you're at that right level of activity that your body needs.
Yeah. If you have a problem related to movement, then the solution is probably also related to movement.
Right. It's crazy how that works, but it's very true.
It's true. Movement problem, movement solution.
But doc, I know it hurts to move. I know, but you gotta kind of, that's how you get it better though. That's how you get it better.
Yeah. And then we'll be talking in future episodes about how I, as a physical therapist, will help people who are having pain with movement. There's different strategies we can do to get people active again. That's where a physical therapist can help, but hopefully we'll be sharing some of that education with you guys. So you can manage your own aches and pains when they come up. So thank you everybody for listening and being a part of our first episode. We're going to be getting into a lot of other topics about health promotion, fitness, injury management, and just teaching everybody what we feel that people who own a human being, a human body, should know about health. So stay tuned, and we'll see you guys next time.
All right.